The prophet calls upon Israel to do justice in view of God's imminent intervention to save. Righteousness and obedience define who belongs to the Israelite community, not race, nationality, or any other category. A reading from the book of Isaiah. Thus says the Lord, maintain justice and do what is right, for soon my salvation will come and my deliverance be revealed. And the foreigners who join themselves to the Lord, to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep the Sabbath and do not profane it and hold fast my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all peoples. Thus says the Lord God, who gathers the outcasts of Israel, I will gather others to them besides those already gathered. The word of the Lord. God has not rejected Israel. Rather, the call and gifts of God are irrevocable, so that while all have been disobedient, God has mercy upon all. A reading from Paul's letter to the Romans. Paul writes, I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that, by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to
God. The Lutheran tradition, as some of you know, has a checkered past. In the final years of his life, Martin Luther, out of frustration, wrote a terrible treatise about the Jews that several hundred years later was appropriated by the Nazis and displayed at their rallies. Because of this past, we in the Lutheran Church today must be among the first to stand up for our brothers and sisters of the Jewish faith. And so, my message this morning. It's a terrifying chant, and it comes to us not from Nuremberg in 1937, but Charlottesville in 2017. The Jews will not replace us. The Jews will not replace us. This chant and others like it was shouted by neo-Nazis last weekend. And while our president wavered in its denunciation, we as Lutheran Christians cannot. For as the Apostle Paul says in our second reading, God has not rejected his people, the Jews, for the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. They cannot be taken back. How many times, I wonder, have these words of Paul fallen on deaf ears? I mean, many of our fellow Christians claim to be Bible-believing. They say the Bible's authority is absolute and final. They even brag that they don't pick and choose or read the Bible selectively. Yet some of these same Christians ignore or forget what Paul says in our reading today regarding the Jews. Instead of following here what Paul says, they perpetuate views that help foster the kind of anti-Semitism that rears its ugly head in places like Charlottesville. They insist, one, that only Christians are saved. They insist, two, that the God of the Old Testament, a God of wrath and judgment, is not the God of the New Testament, a God of love and mercy. They insist, three, that Christianity somehow completes Judaism, or worse, that God has abandoned the Jews and replaced them with us. The good news is that Paul doesn't think this way. Something I didn't understand until relatively recently. This morning, I want to share with you my process of discovering a more inclusive Paul, one that not only broadens God's goal of salvation, but also gives us solid biblical footing for rejecting neo-Nazism and anti-Semitism in all its forms as Christians. Allow me then to present to you my process of discovering a new Paul in 6 easy take-home parts. Part 1. In Romans 11:1, our second reading for today, Paul identifies himself as one of the very people the neo-Nazis in Charlottesville rejected, a Jew. I myself, he says, am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. Jesus and his disciples were also Jews. This is why one cannot be a Christian and be a neo-Nazi simultaneously. For in rejecting the Jews, the neo-Nazis reject Paul, the disciples, and most importantly, Jesus himself. Part 1. Part 2. God, according to Paul, didn't come first to the Jews and then somehow move on to the Christians. God's plan of salvation includes the Jews and Gentiles. God, as it were, circles back to the Jews. God remains faithful to the Jews even as God reaches out to Gentiles, not replacing one with the other. Part 2. Part 3. Here's how God does it. According to Paul, God turns an obstacle into an opportunity. The obstacle here was Israel's resistance to a newer covenant in Jesus Christ. A newer covenant in Jesus Christ, which God then used as an opportunity to widen God's loving embrace of people outside the Christian faith. Now, because some Jews have hardened their hearts, says Paul, the message of salvation can reach the Gentiles, a word in Greek that means the nations. This is not to say that everything happens for a reason, but it does show us how God, for Paul, works. Obstacles, resistance, rejection, defeat, the cross become opportunities for sharing the good news with more people in the case of the Gentiles, and for overcoming death in the case of the cross. Part 3. Part 4, and this is the part most Christians miss, the hardening of Jewish hearts was temporary. The Gentiles here are grafted in or brought into the covenant God already has with the Jews. The disobedience of Israel, Paul says, will be softened by God's mercy. Just as God has made Israel disobedient temporarily, says Paul, so that God may show mercy to the Gentiles. But the disobedience for both is temporary. That mercy that God shows to the Gentiles, fifth, is the essence of the good news, the gospel, the message of salvation that includes Jews and Gentiles. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience, says Paul, so that God may be merciful to all, Romans 11:32. Wow. Number five. Number six. And finally, this mercy, which God does not revoke, and which Paul declares in Romans 11, already appears in the Old Testament. As Isaiah 51, verse 8, our first reading indicates, God gathers outcasts of Israel, and that is the good news already in the Old Testament. And later, as Paul affirms, God will, as Isaiah 51, 8 adds, gather others besides those of Israel already gathered. Paul's message of salvation in Christ, in other words, doesn't complete Judaism. It confirms it. It confirms and expands the message of salvation we find already in the Old Testament, as evident in our first reading. Wow, again. Christ, it turns out, is necessary to get the good news to the Gentiles, to us. But again, God does not and has not taken back or replaced his covenant with the Jews. God claims Jew and Gentile alike. This then is Paul in six, hopefully easy, parts. Number one, the Jews of whom Jesus and Paul were once have, number two, a special place in God's plan or goal of salvation and will not be abandoned. That said, the resistance of some, number three, some of the Jews, an obstacle becomes an opportunity for God to reach out to others, to the Gentiles, to us. Number four, the stubbornness of some Jews at the time, Paul says, is only temporary, since, number five, God circles back and will show mercy to all, Jew and Gentile alike, a message which, number six, already appears in the Old Testament, as Isaiah 51, 8 makes clear. Boom! Now, the implications of Paul in six parts are rather stunning. Listen closely. We misrepresent our Christian faith when we think in relation to the Jews, one, that only Christians are saved, two, that the God of the Old Testament is purely wrathful and that there isn't gospel in the Old Testament. Isaiah 51 makes clear that is not true. And number three, that Christianity somehow completes or replaces Judaism. The Jews, who comprise merely 1% of the world's population, will not, contrary to what the neo-Nazis said in Charlottesville, replace us. The danger is that we, when we ignore what Paul and Christianity actually claims, think our religion will replace theirs. And that is the theological basis, in my estimate, of all anti-Semitism. The truth is, at least for the inclusive Paul, that God claims both Jew and Gentile. The truth is, for the inclusive Paul, that God loves both Jew and Gentile. And the truth is, for the inclusive Paul, that God has mercy on both Jew and Gentile. This Sunday, this week, this month, this year, may we, as Paul does in our second reading today, and as our president has failed to do, stand up to those who claim that God is done with the Jews, or that the Jews had their chance, or that the Jews are inferior, or any other such nonsense. God, as Paul insists, has not rejected his people, nor should we. For God's mercy extends, as Paul says, to Jew and Gentile alike. This is what Isaiah teaches. This is what Paul preaches. And this is how wide the gospel reaches. Amen.